was college, it was running into an army, not running into, but having an infantry officer who I knew, who was leading our young adult Bible study, young adult Sunday school class. And one day, he was also, I was in ROTC, he challenged me right before Christmas. He said, "Bruce, you've been on my heart. I've been praying for you. I want you to consider going to a conference over the Christmas break." I already had a job lined up. I was working my way through college. Well, long and short of that is the job fell through. I ended up going to this conference. That's where I got introduced to Campus Crusade for Christ and Bill Bright and sharing my faith, because during that 4 or 5 day conference in St. Paul, Minnesota, they trained us how to share our faith. I didn't know that I was supposed to, and I didn't know how to, but Campus Crusade changed that. And Campus Crusade started talking about things like the Great Commission. I'm like, what's that? It became clear, and I know Paul, Kevin have both talked about the Great Commission in the last week or two or three. I've heard, and in so that 15 years really was a time when God introduced both Lee and I, she here at A&M and myself, South Dakota State University, and then I spent 1 year at New Mexico State University my senior year, and then came back to South Dakota and graduated there. But God used Campus Crusade to give us a bigger picture. And then we got married. I took her to Fort Hood, Texas. We were on active duty. We treated Fort Hood kind of like a college campus. And we just started discipling and leading soldiers and their family members, you might say, partners, whatever, to Christ. And I want to tell you one story about Pete Murphy. Here's how God's providence can work. We're at the chapel, First Cav Memorial Division Chapel, and that's where we were attending Sunday morning, and then we attended a local church Sunday evening in Coppers Cove, Texas, and Wednesday evenings. But Sunday morning, we wanted to be where the soldiers were, and so we were there, and I wasn't a chaplain. I was a combat engineer. That particular Sunday morning, a young soldier comes walking down the hallway before entering into the actual chapel, and I happened to be in the hallway coming back to sit down in the chapel with my wife and a young lady named Kim, who had just come to Christ because the chaplain led her to Christ, and then handed Kim off to Lee for follow-up in discipleship. So this gentleman, this young private, had just arrived to Fort Hood a couple days before. He had two prayer requests when he came to Fort Hood. Number one, God, send me a discipler, someone who can help me grow in my faith. Lead me to a man who wants to disciple men. Number two, lead me to someone I could spend the rest of my life with. Well, guess who he met on the first Sunday of his time at Fort Hood? He met me. Within 2 minutes, we walked into the chapel. I introduced him to Kim, my wife Lee, and Kim, who is a brand new believer. And I discipled Pete, and he married Kim. Two prayer requests when he arrived at Fort Hood. So I didn't have to lead him to Christ. I just had to be available and be in a place where someone might ask those questions or might want to respond to the opportunity to be discipled. So there are a number of divine appointments in each of our futures. So what's the next 15 years? So, you know, growing up and then kind of entering into the marketplace, you know, whether it's active duty, whether it's coming off active duty. We reported to Texas A&M, worked with college students for 5.5 years. And Lee worked with college students. I worked with cadets. And then God made it very clear. I'm 30 years old. So at the end of the second season, the second 15 years, where were you at 30? You may not be at 30 yet, but where were you between 15 and 30? Fred will remember when we had a men's group, we talked about life maps. So this is a little bit like a life map, meaning you can talk about seasons of life, you can talk about you know, just common themes like heroes that influenced your life, hard times in your life, holy moments of your life where God really. So I'm thinking right now it's basically seasons. So at the end of that second season, God made it very clear. Here I am, a senior captain in the Army, but I'm in the reserve now. I'm off active duty. The Gulf War breaks out August of 90, right? And so my unit didn't deploy, but it could have. And it got me to thinking, okay, I'm a battalion S1. I'm a staff officer. I know what chaplains do, and I support the chaplains in what they do. We had chaplains in our unit, or a chaplain. And so anyway, when I got to asking the question, if the unit I'm a part of ever deploys, what would I want to be doing more than being involved in these soldiers' spiritual lives during that sort of very difficult, challenging transition? So I started asking, what can I do in the military that is ministry? I was already in ministry at Texas A&M full-time. What could I be doing in the military that's ministry? And everybody kept saying, well, you can become a chaplain. I never really had that as part of my plan. So long story short, ended up realizing that's God's plan. Left Bryan College Station, went to Dallas, went to seminary, came back, pastored a Bible church, community Bible church, for about 9 years. Anyway, so ministry, became a chaplain, church ministry, and then another season, somewhat close to the end of that 15 years. I'm 45 now, and I'm my unit. I was in the Texas Army National Guard, and my unit in 2005 is going to deploy to Kosovo. I've already been mobilized to San Antonio for a year from 02-03. Now we're going to Kosovo. And that's where Life Church comes in. 15 years ago, in the fall of 2005, while I'm heading to Kosovo, we were attending a home church north of here, just south of Hearn. And it was a Saturday night, and it's kind of, you know, you get on the highway up there, and it's Saturday night. So I said, Lee, I'm not real comfortable, and here, I'm not here. I'm at Fort Hood, Fort Stewart, and wherever. I'm getting ready to go overseas. So I said, why don't you start attending Life Church? Our daughters, Rachel and Sarah, had been part of the youth group with Maggie Pinones, at Maggie's invite, I'm pretty sure. And some of you don't know, but Lee and Julie were in a Bible study in college. So Lee and Julie are college friends. And so Lee starts attending, while I'm not present, Life Church. And so I come back from deployment. A couple years later, I'm back on another deployment. And you are part of our lives for the next 15 years. That brings us to this point. And some of you have been a part of our lives prior to that because of homeschooling, athletics, Bible studies, whatever. And so the last 15 years have been characterized by ministry in and through Life Church, retirement from the military. Paul came to my retirement ceremony in April of 2012. But I slid over to the Texas State Guard and did 4 more years. So I really haven't been outside the uniform except the last 4 years. But we're at another transition. We're about to enter another season of life, another season. But it's not a new, I want to say this up front, it's not a new mission. It's really, I've used the word with Randy this morning, it's really kind of a remission. we are being remissioned to do what essentially has characterized our heart and our lives, our training, our core values, our DNA, and that's evangelism, discipleship, leadership training, and church planting. Campus Crusade was never involved in church planting for the longest time. They weren't against it, but they kind of always saw themselves as para-church, right? Come alongside the church. But But there's a lot going on in the area of church planting through CRU or Campus Crusade, and that's just kind of what we've understood the world outside of the developed world, like the U.S. and many countries, is still very much, evangelism, like through the Jesus film, and we've had opportunities to participate in translations of the Jesus film to help to see that happen. So evangelism, and then those who come to Christ, they break up into groups, they form house churches, and they disciple them, and that's going on in the world. So vision is what drives almost everything. What does vision mean? Well, we know there's a Bible verse that talks about it. There's several, but without vision, my people, yes, and perish. That really means, literally, they don't know which way to go. If someone said, I want you to go to Dallas, and you've never been to Dallas, you didn't know if it was north, south, east, or west, you would be visionless. You wouldn't have an idea which way to go. What's going to help you know which way to go? You're probably going to pull it up on your Google Maps, and you're going to go, oh, Dallas, that's north. But if you didn't have a vision for Dallas, you could get on the highway and just head east, and pretty soon El Paso's out in front of you, and then you end up in San Diego, and you're nowhere near Dallas. But when you know where Dallas is, and you know which way to go, like which highway to head out to Madisonville or Waco, you can go two different directions, right? Two different roads, routes. But when you know, and when you have a clear vision, you really do know then what to do. It's kind of like, I just got to take steps to work toward getting to Dallas. I know where Dallas is. I know where I need to be. I know where I want to be. So there's Dallas, and I'm going to move in that direction. Vision gives us what we need so we will step forward or step out in faith. So vision. Acts is part of that. Go to Acts 13, chapter 13, verse 1. It's just the church, and it says, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. So this is Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they, these five men, ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now set apart to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And it says, then having fasted and prayed, they laid hands and they sent them away. And then a little bit later in chapter 16, you see where they came back. So Paul and Barnabas left. They went up to Asia Minor. They went around on this first missionary journey, and then they came back. And it says that they reported, this is the end of 14 actually, verse 27. Now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And so they stayed there a long time with the disciples. So they went out, they were sent, they were commended, because it says to the work which they were commended, at some point in there, verse 26. From there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. They were commended. I'm, as a chaplain in seminary, we were part of a church that's very, very much like a Bible church, but it's called a Brethren church. But it doesn't have Brethren in the name. It's a Plymouth Brethren. And they commended me for military chaplaincy. So that local church commended me, and that's what the endorser for that denomination, the military endorser, needed a commendation from the local assembly. And So that local assembly, Eastfield Bible Chapel, commended me. And so when I finished seminary, I was then processed and became a chaplain. But all military chaplains must be, they must have a church that's commending them or licensing them or ordaining them, whatever the term is based on your denomination. And that goes to the endorsing agent. You can't be on active duty or in the military as a chaplain if you don't have an ecclesiastical endorsement to be there. You're representing your denomination, but you're also working in a pluralistic environment with other chaplains from other faiths, Christian and otherwise. So you understand the context you're working in, but you also understand who sent you. And so Paul and Barnabas were sent, they returned, and they reported. So Lee and I are in a transition, and we feel more and more that we are to be about our Father's business of evangelism, discipleship, leadership training, and church planting. And if you've got questions about any of that, we'll be happy to share more specific. But we don't necessarily have all the details. We just know in this next season, I call it our 30-year plan. It's really the next two seasons. If each season is 15 years, this is it. This is what we want to be doing until we leave Earth, is just what I mentioned. And we've talked with some of you. Some of you, this is not a surprise at all. We're not leaving Bryan College Station. We're asking Life Church, the leadership, to commend us to what God's put on our heart. And so as we move forward, the Great Commission is, all authority has been given, Jesus says this, given to me on heaven and earth, therefore go and make disciples, right? And literally that word go is going, as you go. As you go through life, make disciples. So we're just going to continue to go through life, and we're going to be more intentional and more focused on evangelism and discipleship, leadership training, and church planting. So we're thankful that you guys have invested in our lives. You'll still see us. We're not going anywhere, but formally I'm stepping down from any leadership position or any administration that I've had here at Life Church. So if you say, well, Bruce is the care team leader, Bruce is not the care team leader. Okay, Bruce is not associate pastor. Bruce is, and Lee. Now, we'll still be involved in ministry, and Life Church, anyone that wants to be involved in ministry with us, that's great. And we're not asking you to leave Life Church. And we're not technically leaving Life Church. We're just remissioning. We're just going to put more time and effort into what we're called to do. Will you see us less and less as we get more and more engaged in what God's called us to do? I think you will. But we're not leaving here to go to the church down the block, down the street. We consider Life Church as our home. We consider Life Church as the church that's sending us to do what God's called us to do. So thank you for the opportunity to make that clear, or more clear. But don't hesitate if you have questions about what we're about to do. It's, you've heard the expression, less is more. I have, over the last several years, just said, okay, it's time to hand the baton to someone else in this aspect of my life, like retiring from military, retiring from marketplace chaplaincy, activities with homeschool sports programs, this, saying it's time to pass the baton and it's time to focus on the vision that God has made more clear. And I think this last year of Bible reading has been a part of that. That's part of what God is done in my life. And I did share with Paul about 6 months ago that I said something to the effect, Paul, and this is January, I said, I think there's going to be some significant changes in 2020. I didn't anticipate how many changes there would be. And I had no idea that that was part of it. It really just, I meant to say, Paul, we really are sensing that God's doing something in our heart that will lead, probably about mid-year, lead to some type of transition. And that's what's going on right now. It's just a transition. We're not leaving. We're thankful that you want to be praying for us. Oh, and the verse that is Colossians, I'll leave you with this. But Colossians chapter 4, if you want to know how to pray for us, I like what Paul said. He said in verse 3, chapter 4 of Colossians, "Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word." Open to us a door for the word. "To speak the mystery of Christ, for which," Paul says, "for which I'm also in chains." And then verse 5, "I believe that I," and Lee, come on up, Lee. "I believe that we are," verse 5, "we are to walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time." None of us know how many years we have, months, weeks, or days we have on earth, but that's what I want to characterize my life, is that we go about doing God's work and redeem the time that we have. And we don't know how many Pete Murphys are in our future or in your future. Someone who comes into your life and says, "I'm asking God for this and for this," and little did you know, you were or will be a part of the answer to those prayers. Come on up, Paul. Thank you.
He really summed things up nicely. And, you know, throughout when you are in ministry and you have been doing this for a few years, like I have, you know, there's sometimes when someone's transitioning off to ministry and it's with a separate organization and that kind of thing. And then there's those that you're sending, but you're still maintaining a relationship with them. And those are really precious. So we're glad this is one of those. And Bruce has been such a tremendous encouragement to our leadership and Lee as well. And just at times when I needed to know some folks were taking up some of the task of pastoring, it was a tremendous just benefit to have Bruce with us. And so in regards to my role, I know folks like Lee for other reasons as well. So anyway, but let's do this. I want to stand and I'm going to ask our elders to come up. We're going to pray and just release them, commend them actually to the Lord and what they're doing, and just be able to speak that blessing over them. There we go. And Julie, Annie, would y'all please come join us? So as elders, we're going to just pray for them. We have a gift for them too. Jana, would you bring that? There we go. There's a few beautiful occasions in Scripture where it says that they're... Go ahead. Okay. We have a couple of things to them to let them know that we appreciate them and just to bless them. They are pretty. We're going to pray as elders, and then we're going to dismiss. But at that point, if you would like to come up and join us in some additional prayer for the postmates, we're going to offer, you know, have that time available as well. So... you want to start? Yeah.
Holy Spirit, I just thank you for your working. You're always at work. I think about the song that says, "Even when we don't see it, you're working." And so, Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're working. I think you're working in Lee and Bruce's life. I thank you that you're calling them. You're working here at Life Church. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would lay before them the path and the groundwork that prepares them for this next phase of life. Lord, I thank you for the vision. I pray you would bring more parameters and boundaries on that vision. Lord, that they would be focused, laser focused on things that you have. And Lord, it's so easy to add on, to take things and be like, well, this plus and this plus. And Lord, I just sense that you want to encourage them to stay laser focused and be very specific. And Lord, that you would give them discernment to know when to say, okay, no, I'm not going to get into that. It's something I can do, but I'm not going to do that because that's not what the Lord has. And so, Father, I pray for divine appointments, as Bruce talked about, Lord. I pray you begin to bring into their lives, Lord, those that are ready, Lord, that the harvest would be, it is plentiful. Your word says that. And, Lord, you begin to bring and line up within them those who are ready for discipleship, those who are ready for to be saved and then raised up and set apart and trained in leadership to then go out and reproduce. Lord, I know that's their heart. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would go. And, Lord, as a leadership team, we commend them, we send them, we bless them, we thank them for the gift of God that they are. Lord, we thank them for their faithfulness to the gospel and to the body of Christ here. And so, Lord, we just see all of that. And, Lord, we know that you see and, Lord, that you choose to give, you bless. Lord, in faith, when people are faithful, you bless that. And so, Lord, I ask for your blessing to be upon them. And, Lord, without reservation, we say yes to your calling in their life.
I just hear the Lord saying the words faithful and diligent. And so I just want to fan that fresh in the two of you guys, that you are faithful. You are diligent to serve the Lord. And he is so pleased. I'm seeing like a picture, almost like popcorn, but it's people just popping or something small into something big. And it's also, I feel like the word launch is right for right now. There'll be many lives that launch in the kingdom because of your ministry and because of what God is birthing in you. And there have been so many lives that have been touched by you guys because of your faithful service. But I just sense that there's so many more. And I think that's what you feel, that drawing of the Lord in your hearts, because there's more. And so, God, again, I agree with my brothers and sisters here that we send them out with blessing, with favor, God, with fresh courage, Lord, with boldness, God, to advance your kingdom in the ways that you're calling them to, God. We pray protection, Lord, that they wouldn't hear anything other than what you are saying to them, what you are inviting them to, Lord. It's beautiful. It's grand. It's so good. May bless them, Lord.
Lord, just love these people. Just they've been so gracious, and Lord, they just kind of remind me of the wheat and tares, Lord. How the wheat, Lord, they bow down because of the fruit, and the tares, they don't. And you can definitely see the fruit for them. We just thank you, Lord. And as they move forward, Lord, that you would just meet them in the next phases and gift them in new ways they didn't expect. And that you would anoint them, Father, in a way they'd never been anointed before. Mm-hmm. And you would just give them vision, as Bruce said, the vision to see your purpose, where to put the next foot. We just thank you, Jesus.
Father, I thank you that you're truly giving them the desire of their hearts. Mm-hmm. And they have walked in this desire for so many years. They've operated in it, but it's so clear that this is culminating with the true desire of their hearts. Mm-hmm. And so, Lord, we just ask you to increase their favor. Mm-hmm. We ask you to, in this community, we ask you to increase their anointing. Mm-hmm. We ask you to increase their wisdom. Mm-hmm. And we ask you to increase their strength, God. Mm-hmm. We pray, Lord, that you would just give them long, long life. Mm-hmm. I can certainly see these two leading people to Christ even on their own deathbeds in their 90s. And so we thank you for that. We can, all of us could say, yeah, that's exactly what they'll be doing. So we thank you for the salvation of many that will continue to come through these two.
Amen. Father, we're Holy Spirit, very careful with words. I like the way that Bruce explained everything succinctly. We release them from their job descriptions. But we commend them to you. They're not released from us, but we commend them and their ministry to you and to a new phase. And Lord, we thank you for those that are gonna take up those job, you know, descriptions in that as that changes. But Lord, we say well done, good and faithful servants, and the way that we leave determines how we enter, and we say well done, great job, you're blessed. And so you'll be blessed in this new phase of ministry, in this new aspect of ministry. And so we just submit that to our church body, even those that are watching, and ask you to amen with our commending them to the Lord in this new season. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Y'all stay where you are. We're going to sort of draw things to a close real quick. I hope you like steak. We got you a nice gift, and hope that you guys can enjoy that and something close to the house anyway, not too far away. Folks, just a couple things real quick, and we'll dismiss. The world is probably only going to get weirder over the next few weeks. So anyway, be ready to share. You know, the opportunities happen. During seasons of life, you know, a lot of people got rich during the Depression. I know that, you know, that sounds like a counterintuitive thing, but a lot of people built empires. You know, that was the start of it. They figured out how to prosper when things were not seemingly not going well. But folks, chaos in the world is great opportunities for the church. So I just ask you to be optimistic as we're moving forward. And I think a great time. I really do think the way we're going to be doing church is going to be changing, and there's a great opportunity for good home churches and good expressions of ministry that I know are what's in their heart and mind, and we need good people doing church in some different ways, and so I'm really excited for them. Just want to remind you, Bob Nichols will be with us next Sunday, and he will also be with us Saturday morning. We're going to do Bob's seminar in a live stream format. So we'll be set up, but there will be, you're invited to come. We'll have some seating available. So it won't be up here, but it'll be similar to what we've been doing on our live feeds, but you'll have the opportunity to be a part and interact. And if you're watching at home or on your phone or whatever, you'll have the opportunity to post questions or interact when that's part of what's going on. So God bless you and keep you this week. We're going to spend a little bit more time praying for our friends here, but God bless you if you're watching us over the internet. God bless you and keep you. Have a great week, and we look forward to seeing you sometime soon. Thanks, everyone.